Good evening, everyone. Welcome. This is Jenna Chaputis, a.k.a. Zadi Mom, in the Immunize Wisely chat room. And I am honored to host guests here on Ingrid's channel, Time Slot. She's the director of VaccineLiberation.org, and HumbleWeed.net is her business, where you can find some very natural healing supplements to support your health. Tonight, we have a returning guest. Ingrid first introduced Brian and I to Shannon Rowan when Wi-Fi Refugee came out, the book. And I also wanted to honor the callers over the past couple of weeks that are interested in the importance of a digital technology and its impact on our health. So I love Shannon. We became fast friends with common interest in living in nature's sanctuary. And I have read Wi-Fi Refugee, Welcome to the Masquerade, and now I just started reading Shots Fired. And so many things started to connect in my mind. You know, maybe I'm a late bloomer, but what Shannon's gift is in this ocean of information, she can compile, critique, and assemble with her gift of literary craft. And Shannon told us once in one of her summer jobs in the past has been a river guide. And I see that the information that's surfacing that we either integrate or we leave behind, it's really nice to have a guide. And that's why I am so honored to have Shannon on again. Shannon, good evening. Are you there?
I'm here. I was just listening to that wonderful introduction, and thank you so much. And yes, I love you too. So thanks so much for that. And yeah, we did connect, like you said, and made good friends. And I am still doing the guiding. I started last summer, actually, on the river out here. So, and in the ocean, kayak river, whitewater river rafting, and also, yeah, harbor tours. So
wonderful, like the confidence in seeking out the big waves, because you surf also. And, yes. You know, there's courage, you have adventure, and a curiosity, because you've traveled, that you've been able to take on so much information. And it's kind of like, what is it, like a mark of our culture, our time, in what's been happening over the past decade, but specifically through COVID, that you have tackled a monumental effort, and Shots Fired is no small read. I'm only 150 pages in, and I have hundreds more to go, but it's pretty amazing how much information that you have integrated through this book. But
thank you. I'm trying.
I'm really glad you do, because someone's got to do it. And it's really great because I have already passed your book around. Wi-Fi Refugee is in Illinois now with my family members. And I'm really happy to be able to share a book because it's such a pleasant experience as opposed to being on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that popped out in my mind, because I know that chemical, you know, I try to live a natural life. I try to stay away from pharmacopoeia. I try to grow my own vegetables. We want to live a healthy life. But even with that endeavor, there is still obstacles all around. And when I was reading the Monsanto timeline that you configured in Shots Fired, I was just like, oh my gosh, there's so much of a continuum of they introduce poisons, they call it a virus or disease, and then the reaction would be, here's a vaccine to fix that problem. And I had, like, when you had mentioned in there that DDT and the polio, that struck me so hard because it's a hard topic to sell to people in conversation. But I really think it's important. And I really hope that the listeners go out and get this book, because it is really important that you have all of this information put together in one book, and it's very validating for those that have already been skeptics and conspiracy theorists out there, but it's all here in black and white for us, and it's such a wonderful read. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it is nearly 800 pages, but almost 100 pages of, well, not 100 pages, but 70 pages, I think, of that is endnotes. So, yeah, there's like, I tried to reference everything so people can, you know, check those out if they want to. But also, it is, I did kind of design it as a reference manual as well. So, yeah, you can read, skip around if you want. It is in a chronological kind of order as well. But yeah, Monsanto is, I picked because of its legacy of poison. And like you said, we are constantly battling, you know, this poisoning. It's not just, you could, you know, be buying all organic. You can be trying to avoid chemicals in your products. And then it's just in the environment, because it's not like, even when they've banned certain things, like eventually they'll ban DDT, or they'll ban Agent Orange, or they'll ban PCBs, and these are all out of Monsanto, by the way, just a few. And then there's just more, you know, so it's like there's so many thousand actually every year that are looking, seeking approval, new chemicals, thousands of them. And they're not able to, I think the EPA is like just thousands and thousands of chemicals behind schedule on actually monitoring this. You know, when this happens so quickly, it's very difficult to monitor. And we see this with EMFs, of course, when it becomes, when it's just like, how do you keep up with this, you know, what they call progress, the march of progress. And it's like, you know, when you've got government working with private corporations and, you know, they lobby and give government money, and then government subsidizes something or mandates something. And then everybody's like, you know, scratching each other's backs and lining each other's pockets. Well, we suffer for this, right? And so trying to actually stay on top of this and do something about it is a monumental task, and it's nearly impossible. And we make headway, you know, now and then with something. But then, like, for example, Roundup, and that's from Monsanto. We've all heard of this, and we've heard of glyphosate to this point and how ubiquitous this poison is in our environment. But there have been successful lawsuits with, like specific cases of cancer proven to be caused by exposure to Roundup, yet it's on our shelves. Like, we still, people, you could go and buy it. You can't stop your neighbor from spraying that all over his garden right next to your home, you know, like it, and you, there's not even any kind of monitoring of that. It's amazing. So, yeah.
That's, yeah, and it's in concert with all of the other things, but also I was surprised to see that Monsanto started the mass production of LEDs. And
yeah.
So those sort of things you can't stop, and we see them everywhere, and they're involved in everyday life, and people really just, it's only if you're looking into it, and really if you get bit. And I kind of think that we're similar in that way, where if you've suffered the effects of chemical poisoning, vaccines, and there's a wide variety of ways that people can get stung, that to say, oh, what stung me? And you look at it, and you look at it hard. And I think that you, I've heard many interviews, and oh, wait, I should definitely say, if anyone wants to listen to other podcasts Shannon's given over the years, that they can be found at wifi-refugee.com. And I was just listening to a couple of them before you came on today, and you were also talking about vitamins, and that's a hard one. That's a hard pill to swallow, because
I know.
We really thought that vitamins helped us.
Yeah, I know. That's a whole new rabbit hole I've been going down. It's going to be another big book for sure. I'm trying to finish one on tech addiction first, though. I don't want to get too sidetracked, but I have done a lot of research into the vitamins as well, because a lot of people don't realize that these are tied to pharmaceutical companies, too. So a lot of these pharmaceutical companies that we're speaking out against and we hate are basically the ones manufacturing these, all of these chemicals, and, you know, they work with chemical manufacturing companies and they put other labels on it. So, yeah, and the problem is that vitamin history is very young. We've all been indoctrinated thoroughly with it in a very short time period, because we all believe in vitamins the way we believed in viruses. And, you know, that they, I mean, there's even a question that they exist, and I'm being serious about that. and that they haven't, as far as I can make out so far, been actually isolated from foods. Like we're said, you know, we're told this vitamin's in this food and whatever. But what it really is that there was an assumption that there was something like that in foods, just like there's an assumption about viruses being in people and infecting them. But it was never actually clearly proven that they are in the foods. So it kind of just, this idea of deficiency diseases, so the germ theory led to the idea of contagion. And now this deficiency disease is what prompted this whole vitamin research and production of vitamins, which are always chemicals. So I'm not saying there aren't nutrients in food, what we call nutrients. Obviously, there's vital substances in food that keep us alive and that make us healthy. And some of these we could say are minerals because it's a lot easier to find minerals. But a lot of minerals were sold and that are packaged as supplements are also chemicals. So to be really careful about that. I'm not saying you can't get any supplements potentially that do you have naturally sourced minerals, but I would say you want to really do a lot of research first. I've basically thrown everything out that I had. I'm not taking any. So that's my stance right now. But
that's hysterical. You know, I mean, I've gone through my vitamin C and it sits empty, that jar. And I'm really happy. And I'm like, wow, I really can't tell the difference. You know, it definitely helps just getting out in the sunshine, moving around, and drinking lots of water. And for how much I've weaned myself off of these supplements of iodine and religiously thinking, oh, I got to put more minerals and vitamins in my smoothie. All of those things I finally let go, and I'm actually free from it, which is great because it's less work.
Yeah.
Less money
really
spent.
It's so expensive. You know, and a lot of us who've been injured by whether it be radiation or vaccines or a combination or some other chemical turn to what we think is alternative medicine, and we turn to some other kind of solutions, but we're kind of approaching it with the same mentality of like broken parts to replace or somehow repair like a machine, you know, and it's like we could find that substance, put that substance in, and then that will fix that. And that's part of the problem, but also just that we've been prey to predators who take advantage you know, of our ignorance about these subjects, basically. And some of them I think are well-meaning and they're not predators, but, you know, I've been peddled so many kinds of vitamins and supplements over the years to supposedly to cure my electro hypersensitivity. And I've taken them, I've spent a lot of money and I've made myself very sick in the process in some cases. And I finally linked it to these supplements. In some cases though, I thought it's not the vitamin or it's not the mineral, it's the fillers or it's the artificial flavor added or something that's bothering me. Which is probably true too, but now that I know truly what these vitamins are and that they're and how they're manufactured and where they come from, then now I'm like, wow, well, those are also poisonous. So, and it's made by Merck and Pfizer, you know, so it's like, and I'll just tell a personal story. I don't mind telling this because it's a really strong example that I think people need to hear. But I was not taking these supplements for a long time, although I would sometimes take like pill forms of herbs, usually try to take them out of the capsules, figuring the capsules aren't good because they've got formaldehyde in them. And that's something I write about in Shots Fired, and you know, formaldehyde being in like everything, including like capsules and things. So I would, but you know, it's much better just to get, what I'm learning is that herbs, like medicines, actual plant medicines have always been medicine, and they're still medicinal plants, and that's our medicine. And it's best to grow it yourself if you can. If not, second best, get the bulk herb dried so you can see that it's the plant, not some weird ground up form. You don't really know what's in it, you know, if it's really all what it's advertised at, because this is not a regulated thing at all. I mean, there's no right. You can put whatever you want basically on your label. You can say it's natural. You can say it's organic. The organic could like have a relationship maybe with the 1% of what's in there, and you could still label it that. So we have to put a lot of trust in these companies. And then when you find out who the companies really are behind the label, you realize you can't trust them. So why are you taking it? And how could, you know, how could like, even if it was food-based vitamin actually be better than just eating broccoli if it's freeze-dried up vegetables in a tiny pill? I often thought that. I often thought, you know, while trying to take those kind of supplements, like, how is this really helping me? Why don't I just eat more vegetables? You know, I know we're told, well, they're depleted because the soils and whatever, and that kind of pushes us into that because we're told, like, well, the food our food supply is contaminated or it's not good enough, so we need something extra. But the something extra is still coming from the same food supply, and it's further kind of messed with and reduced, you know, and altered and heated, like high heat, and then, you know, chemicals added to it. So it's like, how is that better than just eating the food, even if the food isn't as good as it used to be? I wouldn't see how that would be better, and it's very expensive. So my personal story is that I was convinced to take vitamin D, D3, you know, this is a common one you take this winter because we don't get much sun here, and I was having this weird symptom of like one of my eyes, like my right eye just getting really watery in the winter. And I thought, well, it doesn't happen in the summer. And when you think, well, if it's dry eyes, why isn't it, you know, drier in the summer? And I don't have that problem. So I thought it's something to do with sunlight. And I haven't lived, you know, in this climate very long. We don't get much sunlight in the winter. And I was starting to take some fish oil too, but I thought, oh, I'll try the D3. Well, within 2 weeks of this, my menstrual cycle stopped completely. You know, and at first I worried I was pregnant, and then I was like, well, maybe it's menopause because I'm kind of almost of the, I don't know, you know, maybe I'm of the age now and it's kind of happening earlier and earlier to women. And so I had hot flashes and I had nausea, and this lasted for months all the time while I was on the D supplement. When I found out D is a steroid and that it is rat poison, like literally synonymous with rat poison, I stopped taking it, and within 2 weeks of stopping, after 4 months of this, I started menstruating again. So it's that powerful. And I know it's personal, but I hope people don't mind, but it's so powerful. You know, it's like, it's how many people are gaining weight that they can't control because of that one supplement, which is put into foods as fortification, so-called, you know, enrichment, into a lot of foods. And there's that whole kind of thing too, of this mandates of fortification, they call it, which is really when you find out a lot of these vitamins are just manufacturing byproducts and waste, in the same way that fluoride is, you know, from the steel industry, and they want a way to get rid of it without having to pay for that. So they convince the government to actually mandate putting it into water supply. So it's like a win-win, and they make a lot of money off of it instead of actually having to pay a lot of money to dispose of toxic waste. And that's what I'm finding a lot of the vitamins are.
You know, in your book, you also mentioned that, it just suggesting the idea that if a country like prohibits some certain chemical from coming onto their country, into their supply, they can get sued by the chemical company. And it just seems like this mafia network that's pretty much globalized, where they really do want to be able to control this massive corporate expenditure of their idea of how they're going to deal with waste, because maybe it's just cheaper to make people eat it.
Speaking of eating it, one of the things I've found out, is that there's a, you know, one of the sustainability to fulfill these so-called sustainability goals is that one proposal is to actually recycle plastic waste into food by making it into a protein. And I'm not even joking.
Wow. I have never heard
we should
that
eat
one.
Plastic. Yeah, sure. That's another, it's sure. In the works. Like, this is, you know, part of the new kind of food that we could be eating.
Sure. I mean, I guess I kind of had an earlier indication with seeing how large-scale biochar manufacturers would just want to make biochar out of garbage, including plastics, and I'm like, oh, that's why you need to not buy that stuff and go small, go local, make it yourself, etc. But actually putting plastic in food, that's terrible.
You know, making it into a protein powder, yeah, and then selling it as a supplement or a protein, like or you know, a lab meat or something. I'm not sure exactly what they're planning with that, but I just heard about it. And biochar on that scale, like you said, that can be then considered, if it's carbon-based, it can be considered organic in terms of like supplements and when they're making supplements. Yep. So these labels, you know, are very misleading often. I mean, it's a lot easier to follow that, like to get some confirmation with foods that are not packaged, that especially if you get it from a local farmer or something, then you're sure about it. But otherwise, you can't be too sure what's going on.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. There was one more thing. You did mention the aspartame and aspartame-related deaths. Very similar to what we are seeing with this COVID, but that makes me think that these crossover poisons in combination, like we have no idea, people that chew gum or drink Diet Coke and got the shot, or, you know, that could explain so much more. But aspartame, I have heard different interviews on that subject, and I know it's terrible and it's everywhere. But that's another layer.
It's in medicines. Yeah, I mean, it's in vaccines often. It's in, like, kids' vitamins, something, you know. I mean, it's just like, and it causes Parkinson's and other deaths, you know, from things like that. And it was called, like, Rumsfeld's plague or something. Because Donald Rumsfeld was the one who pushed that through, getting that approved after it had kept getting rejected, even by the FDA and everything, because of all the deaths with the, the lab mice, rats were killed by it, and they couldn't prove that it was safe. And then they just end up, somehow it gets through. Well, we know how. I mean, money, you know, bribes and things, bribes and threats, and then it gets through. And, you know, you've got this generations of people totally destroyed by these things and have no, and it's never right. Where is that in the conversation when we're talking about disease? Any of this poisoning, you know, it's, and why some people's symptoms are so much crazier than others, and why they're having, now they're calling turbo cancers and things, like, none of that enters into the conversation.
Right. I did have a human interest question in the chat room about your early career before you were injured with Wi-Fi. And I don't know if you want to go back to that.
I've done a lot of early things, but I was a journalist, actually, for a while. And I was in, well, I started my career in photography, and that led to both commercial photography and then photojournalism, but also writing editorial pieces along with my photos for some magazines. I did newspaper work as well. I was disillusioned in those fields because I saw the corruption in both advertising and the manipulation and advertising and in news. And news, I thought with journalism, I'd be making a difference. And I found that that wasn't the case. And it was very controlled and manipulated information. So I guess that's why I'm able to see a lot of this too, because that was my early career. And then I had a dog walking business. And I was a hula hoop dance performer on the side. a lot of strange things. but a little bit of music. As you know, I illustrate too, and I have some children's books I've written and illustrated. But a little bit of a jack of all trades.
Right. And an artist. Artistry is in everything that you are doing. Because I have started reading more over the years, but Noah, you write, you have a very unique craft in how you lay it all out, and it's nonstop. It's like you're going to cover this subject. And so I see artistry in your books.
Thanks.
And you did,
I think I'm also just like
cover.
A dog with a bone sometimes. But yeah. I'm
wonderful.
Sorry, what I talked over you, but
you also designed the front cover as well.
For all my books, I do the cover design, because I studied graphic design too, so that's helped. And I do all the formatting for my books as well, and publishing. So, and I published other books for other people too, other authors, more and more over the last few years.
What I also want to bring up the fact that you are bringing out to a larger scale audience just the concept and the word, the word usage and the context of communitarianism. It's very validating for people like myself, Brian, Lark, the few others that we know that are trying to inject this word into the conversation to give it a name. And we're really thankful that you've done that in this book, but I think that that's really dynamic, because even now with this COVID, I don't know if you're familiar with Catherine Watt. She's a author with Bailiwick News. She's injecting the term because she found it herself as well.
Great.
Yeah, it's great. I do hear music, so I believe we are at a break, and stay tuned. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Jenna Shputis from the Pacific Northwest, Olympia area, and I'm talking to Shannon Rowan, author, artist, geopolitical critic in Northern California, and we have been talking about her book, Shots Fired, and we have also been talking about the ubiquitous poisons in our environment, including in our vitamins. And one of the chatters in the chat room just put up this link that has a short list I want to read. This is Scott's Green. He put it up. Vitamin D is rat poison. Vitamin B is made from cyanide and is a literal carcinogen. Vitamin A is for population control. Vitamin C is GMO corn syrup, mold, and chemicals. Link to eugenics. Omega-3s, fish oil poison. Poison food supply, the history of food fortification. and United Nations EVIL Food Fortification Program with links. Thank you, Scott. That's good to know. And then he also put in an overview of the applications of nanomaterials and nanodevices in the food industry. Shannon, you know about that too?
Yeah, and I think he's reading the same Substack I've been reading, by the way. But it's called Chemtrails Substack. Yeah, that's the nano stuff is I've also written about and shots fired quite a bit because of it. You know, I mean, this is not conspiracy theories, folks. This is what the science is showing us. This is by what biotech is all about. This is what all of their patents are, and this is what all their articles are, you know, heralding in this new era of nano everything and in our foods and our, you know, in vaccines, of course, and the latest vaccines and just you name it, clothing, you know, graphene oxide in particular, which was found in these vaccines, not labeled, but it was in. And think about the labeling laws as if it's under a certain percentage of the ingredients, it doesn't have to be labeled. And so nano, according to its size, doesn't have to be included in labels currently for anything. So how could you really even know it's in there? They didn't label these vaccines as having graphene oxide, yet graphene oxide was found to be in them. And graphene oxide is listed as this miracle material, a very conductive, a superconductor, when very flexible, has a lot of like different applications. There's at least 60 listed potential applications, and some is in clothing as a, like a weird, as really is like a mosquito repellent in clothing. And I think there was something recently about it actually combining it with vitamin D to deliver into people and through their foods and through medicines and to help, you know, with supposed D deficiencies. So, and of course, you know, chemtrails and that. So I have like a section about Nano Man in my book and all the different ideas and plans for that. I mean, they're doing this, what they call scaffolding, with using tissues and then using things like graphene oxide and other material nanomaterials to kind of like, they're trying to create new life forms, basically. And a lot of these experiments are done with bacteria right now, but they're using like living human tissue, different tissues, different animals, and combining this with nanotechnologies and like so that they can somehow then grow tissues. And of course, they're saying that all these applications are for our own good because it could help repair your tissues, repair your bones, you know, replace them eventually. And that's what the futurists talk about with transhumanism, is actually replacing our body parts, even our organs, including our heart, even maybe won't need it with nanobots. I've read articles saying we're all going to have nanobots coursing through our blood by 2030, and it'll be great for us and can transmit all this information about our bodily functions to our doctors wirelessly. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I mean, that's the kind of future that these really insane people are envisioning for us.
Right. Well, you know, going back to the Monsanto timeline, didn't they they have a company on CRISPR? I think that was the list. I was like, oh yeah, of course. It would be in the same vein as coming from Monsanto. CRISPR is the idea of kind of growing organs and synthetic life parts and foods and it's synthetic. Yeah. I guess that's how I can summarize it. But I saw CRISPR in the Monsanto.
Yeah, and I was reminded just, I was reading something recently, I think it was Last Child in the Woods, because for my current research with the tech addiction, that reminded me that at some point, when was this, even in the 90s, they were showing there was a photo of a mouse with an ear growing out of it. Like a human ear, what it looked like growing off the back of a mouse. So, you know, it's the kind of stuff that was, you know, they were messing around with for already in the like late 90s.
That's reminiscent of the early Jenner. In Shots Fired, you go back to all the different creepy things he was up to.
Well, actually, his uncle John, I think you're thinking of his uncle, John Hunter, who was a famous, you know, surgeon who was doing all this involved in body snatching for his lab, who the Jekyll and Hyde story was based on, actually inspired by his laboratory. It was that infamous, but he had grafted like a testicle of a cockerel that said to a hen's belly or something, you know, so yeah, absolutely insane.
Life with purpose. That's terrible. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. But going back to, okay, as far as my brain can wrap around the ideas of how these things have been legally put into our society, as far as with the COVID, I was listening to Catherine Watt, and because she's trying to break down for her listeners how this has been over the past 50 years, they've just been injecting these clauses, injecting these securities, and how that has brought us to this overlay of constitutional rights or liabilities through communitarian law. And I'm so glad that she's speaking. She's actually said the word because she can give it a term and an idea for a framework of what's going on. Why where is the ethical, moral value in what they're doing? How can they legally get away with it? So I think that it's really important and validating that you use that in the book. I'm doing another circle around that because
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I do have another comment that I wanted to read. This was from an anonymous. Well, here it is. EU was able to implement the mask protocol first because they operate under a key communitaire, aka communitarian law. Incidentally, what the entire world will soon be under to achieve the new world order, aka new weird odor, which stinks to freedom-loving, liberty-minded people, which looks like totalitarianism, acts like communism, and feels like self-empowerment. Mm. A land in which you will own nothing and be happy because we, WEF, et al., own it all. So be good community citizens and police yourself and your panopticon to protect the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people are, you know, there are some, and I'm glad that they can vocalize these ideas. And, you know, if anything, I think it's peace of mind, understanding they are trying to kill us. It's not that I'm paranoid. It is a reality. And other people that can have that in their mind as a surety, I at least find a little bit of camaraderie with them, because we all understand this is what's happening.
Right. And Jenna, I have to credit you with having woken me up to that, that terminology and all the kind of related, that kind of language. And it's good to look out for that. Once you kind of see that, then you can be more aware of the manipulation going on. When they talk about community and all these words they've sort of hijacked and, you know, appropriated for their own goals that we think at first glance might sound good, but once you understand the real agenda and what's behind it and what they're really after, then you see the sinister aspect. And like you're saying, they can make these laws that are outside of our law and our rights by saying, talking about this greater good, or like, this is where the emergency measures always come in, the emergencies that then can help override our liberties and the laws that are supposed to be there to safeguard against that. And that's happened even. So, of course, we saw that with COVID. It's an emergency. Therefore, suddenly you don't have the rights you thought you had under the Constitution. But they've done this in things like disaster emergencies, right, with the poisoning. And so I also write about the spraying programs for mosquitoes that happen in the wake of any kind of, like, any hurricanes, basically, any flooding, heavy rains. They just go and, because an emergency order is, they just go and spray all of this stuff. And it's, like, usually linked to Monsanto. And so, of course, who knows? People don't even know what's happening. And so they don't even know then if they get sick after that or get cancer, if it's because everything's contaminated around them. And then they want to blame a new disease. And so we see this with supposed outbreaks of things like dengue fever, where they say it's from the mosquito, but then they're doing these spray programs for mosquitoes that are also causing symptoms that align with what we call dengue fever or malaria or yellow fever, can have the same symptoms as the poisoning with these pesticides.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And, yeah, isn't that just kind of a perfect plan? Yeah, you did. Yeah, that is really interesting. I did not know that. And you did write about the Ohio train crash and how they handled that. And it's like, just for them to just decide this is how we're going to manage it because emergency measures came in and they're going to just burn it all and make this big plume. And it, yeah.
I mean, that was also weird because of where it took place and that movie White Noise had just come out, you know, the year before or something based on the book from a long time ago. But they happened to film it in the same time where, guess what, a train derails and there's a what they call airborne toxic event. And it's from a Don DeLillo book that actually happened. DeLillo, I forget his last name right now, but I did read the book a long time ago and I was like, oh, that's that book. So we watched the movie because of that. And also because I've heard about it, you know, being the same town and everything. But yeah, airborne toxic event they were talking about from some train derailing. Same town. They filmed it in Ohio. And then that happens, you know, within the year. It's just a little bit odd.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we can't, you know, we can't predict what kind of catastrophe is going to be planned. Because I think that they're all intentional because they're designing these ideas to just kind of keep controlling the masses in ways that they can't. It was brought to my attention this week, I know it's a little off subject, that 30% of the population in this country, they're under an HOA. They have HOA controlling their private property and how the new developments will be designed in that sort of scenario, which is another control mechanism for people who can endure being told what color their house can be and that they can't grow food and the controls that are going to be fallen upon them designated by probably the WHO because the climate change catastrophe affects everyone. So these measures... These are emergency measures that will continue to infinity. And I think that having the scope of, we were America. I think we are, I heard this morning, we're like fragments of Americans and the freedom-loving people that want to decide how they want to live. We're just like out here. Whereas the herd is still all being herded in so many different forms. But I did, oh, let's see, we got there. I'm looking at the chat also.
Okay, yeah. And the problem is the next generation, you know, these younger generations are addicted to tech. They're being raised by technology. They don't have any concept of freedom anymore, you know, and the way they're being educated as well at school is taking that from them. And they're kept in fear all the time. It's this constant state of fear and emergencies and like looking to the authorities to do something about it. And, you know, so they don't really even have a concept of self-responsibility and self-reliance, unfortunately. So, you know, if we don't actually instill that in the children today, then we're really looking, you know, we're really going to be in trouble down the line.
I agree. Yeah. And that's where, I wanted to water term change tack and the digital element and the digital dementia. I know from my experience how that went. And I heard you mention in one of your interviews, he became a missing person in my life. And he's alive, but he's kind of missing. And as soon as that addiction began, and with lots of people that I've known over the years that have their tech, and it's kind of like they're not in their body anymore. They're kind of missing there. But I feel that that's everywhere. And especially with the young people that really do have a predisposition because their blood-brain barrier is thinner, they have more water. It affects them so much more than they even realize. And so those subtleties of depression, antisocial behavior, and what's the easiest thing to fix the day, it's be on your tech all day. And it becomes the cycle of life, and it's really sad. And I'm really glad that you are going to write a book about this.
I'm working. I'm like about third way through. I'm hoping to finish by the fall. It's my goal. But yeah, it's really, and I've been it's actually really been eye-opening for me doing the research, even for me, even for somebody who's, you know, been affected really by technology in a really palpable way. And I've really cut down my use of it as a result. But even then, I haven't been aware of all the ways in which it still entraps me and affects me. Because, you know, a lot of us with what we call electro-hypersensitivity, who feel electromagnetic fields and we feel the effects of that, have found ways to still sort of get online more safely and that we can handle. But being online, the internet itself, you know, is a trap, and it kind of offers something for everyone in terms of addiction. It doesn't matter who you are, it's going to be there, right? And so for me, of course, like I can get sucked into sort of the information addiction aspect and multitasking addiction. And now that I'm learning what this is really doing to my brain as I'm doing this, it's making me more, just more aware of that. It's giving me more opportunity to kind of create more boundaries and to approach things differently, you know. So, but it's fascinating. All the things I've been learning about this is fascinating. And it kind of just drives home the point to me that there is a nefarious purpose behind it. The design is intentional. The design is there to addict us and to harm us. And this is by design, and it's been like this for a while. And so, and this isn't improving. It's improving in that it's more skillfully done, and you're incorporating AI now as well. But we do kind of disassociate when we're,
I was going to wait, to the bottom of the second hour. So if they would hold on, thank you. Yeah, I did want to, well, thanks for asking. Yeah, we will be taking calls in the second hour, but I think the tech addiction, I think this is a fascinating subject because no one wants to talk about it. And I got Shannon to talk about it, which is great. We've been playing phone tag with Dr. Martin Paul, and I did have him on 2 weeks ago, and there was just a little clip that I captured from his interview 2 weeks ago, because the listeners may recall that the subject of the fentanyl addiction and the predisposition EMFs have on our neurotransmitters, and again, we've been learning so much biology through our investigation of what this thing is, because you can't see it, smell it, or taste it, the EMFs. But they've changed our lives dramatically in the past 10, 20 years. So,
yeah. Oh, sorry. Did you want to play that clip, or were you just?
Well, actually, Mr. Bordup, do you mind playing it? It's so short. It's just his voice and his approach to looking at it. Would that be okay? Thank you.
But you were talking about this dissociation. I mean, this is something I think if we start putting awareness on this, we'll notice how we lose touch with our surroundings and our bodies when we are engaged with technology.
Yeah, it is a constant distraction.
Exactly.
I think that, and it pulls us out.
Okay, he's ready.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I've been trying to reach, I'm going to be talking to Dr. Paul and getting his take on how the EMFs themselves are addictive. And that's something I'm trying to get more research on, because it's not just the design in other ways of the applications, but the actual electromagnetic fields that we're exposed to when we're using them.
Right. And how they affect our neurotransmitters and dopamine in specific, and you understand that. And I don't know if we're, maybe after the break we'll get it. But basically, he was referencing. Yeah, that's...
To being a creditor. I wanted to have the government owe me all the money that they owe me, rather than me separating. Like, I don't want to be separate from the IRS because the IRS owes me money. They need to give me a lot of that money that the government's taken from me.
This is so funny.
And so my process was to become a secured party creditor,
Mr. Borda, which
I hired somebody to file a UCC, Uniform Commercial Code, document with the Secretary of State that in essence says that I am no longer a debtor, that myself, the living...
Please stop that. It wasn't the right audio, but that's okay. Okay. I'm sorry. We had Dr. Paul on, and basically he was saying that the avenue they understand, and it predisposes people to addiction in general, but not specifically EMFs he wasn't aware of at that time. Mm-hmm. But he's open to that idea because it's still the intent and focus of what you are doing. And that's where that constant divided attention disorder, where we're multitasking, basically, that's the idea of it splitting our focus and our attention from real life and our connections that we have all around us. Yeah.
Right. And the field, because the way I see it, even if he doesn't have this research, it's that these are stimulating fields, these artificial EMFs. So we often, and they deplete us when we're in them, but then we crave them again, just the way we crave caffeine, and that vicious cycle of like needing the caffeine again, and then like crashing from the caffeine. And that's what I see just being in the fields doing to us as well. But you have the dopamine hits from other aspects, from the technology with the applications all designed for that. And we're just very unaware of that happening to us. You know, we're unaware of like why we're reaching for this.
And we're also unaware of the different waves coming through the backdrop or the screensaver. There are other emitting frequencies, lights, flashes that are doing something to our brain.
Right.
I had a caller. Oh, yeah, we're going on to a break. We'll continue at the top of the hour. Immunize Wisely and my guest, Shannon Rowan.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.